Chapter 9. Penelope. Penelope's parents were not very interesting people. It was unfortunate, she wrote in her diary at 14, because she was actually a very interesting person who surely had an exciting life to look forward to. Her father, Edwin, had never done anything important, and her mother, Margaret, was also extremely boring, although her family history was quite interesting. She had been born in the newly created South Africa after her parents sold their failing farm in England. They had moved to South Africa to take over some land which had been given to the only people who were able to look after it, her mother told her. That means the white race, us. Margaret's family did not last long in South Africa after her father was badly attacked by the native men who he employed to work on the farm and also abused. After the attack, he sold the farm cheaply and brought his family back to England. They moved in with relatives, and he never worked again. I was glad to be back in England, her mother said. I didn't like the way the native men looked at me over there. It was no place for a white girl to grow up. Penelope's mother sometimes told her stories about her life once she had returned to England. She told her about how she would leave her house at night without her parents knowing, to go swimming naked in the river. She also loved dancing. Penelope found it hard to imagine that her dull mother had once lived an exciting life. She felt sorry for her that she had to leave it to have a family. Then her parents told her that she was a lie, and any sympathy she had felt for her mother disappeared as quickly as it had come. The lie was bad enough on its own, but it was the cruel way they chose to tell her which left her feeling bitter towards her parents.
You are not our real daughter, her father told her at lunch on her 16th birthday.
She had been left as a baby on the steps of a church, and her parents, who had been trying to have a child of their own for years, adopted her and took her home. What they did not tell her in that moment was that they loved her. They had never told her this. Instead, they carried on as normal and ignored the tears that fell down her cheeks. When it became clear that her parents would not try to comfort her, Penelope ran to her room and cried even more. To them, it was a normal Saturday afternoon, but Penelope's whole life had changed. Later that night, when Penelope studied herself more closely in her mirror, it became very clear to her that she looked nothing like Edwin or Margaret. They were both short people, with pale skin and thin hair. Penelope was tall, with curly, strawberry blonde hair, and was able to get a nice tan during the summer without trying very hard. Penelope decided she would go to university, become a teacher, and meet a man who loved her dearly. They would have children together. Children who she would love and who would fill the hole she now felt inside her. Penelope met Giles shortly after her parents revealed their lie to her. He was the captain of his school's rugby team, and he was very handsome. Penelope started going to his bus stop every morning, with the hope of seeing him there, so they could walk together and talk. Luckily, conversation came easily to them, and soon she and Giles began to hold hands and kiss goodbye when he walked her to her school gates. Penelope was in love, and by the time she was 18, they were engaged. They married as soon as Penelope had graduated from Teachers Training College. Giles was already working as an engineer, and he moved them to a large house in London where they would start their family together. She became pregnant with their son, Adam, straight away, which stopped her from going into teaching, but she did not mind. She still had plenty of time to work in a school and build her career.
She had their daughter Sarah a year later. Penelope did not mind looking after the children, but after 3 years of having to stay at home to take care of them, she wanted to do something for herself. When Giles came home from work, she raised the issue of returning to her job as a teacher. "It's not like we can't hire someone to look after the children for us."
"A woman shouldn't have two masters," Giles said. "You can't have a boss at work and a husband at home."
"Are you joking?" asked Penelope. He was not. Penelope started to visit the library and read books about American housewives who felt just like her, unhappy and bored with simply being a wife and a mother. Penelope wanted more. She continued to ask Giles to let her go back to work, until one morning when he put his hand through the glass window of the front door.
"You're lucky it wasn't your face," he shouted at her.
They divorced shortly after. Penelope got to keep the house and the children. Without Giles to stop her, Penelope got a job at Peckham School for Boys and Girls and found someone to take care of Adam and Sarah while she was at work. She met her second husband, Philip, at a friend's wedding 6 weeks after her divorce from Giles was official. Philip was an improvement from Giles. He was a therapist, caring, sensitive, and knew what to do in the bedroom to make Penelope feel good. Most importantly, Philip was interested in her. He liked to ask her questions about her life and who she was deep down inside. Life with Philip was good, until it was not. Soon, Philip's questions became annoying. "What happened to you as a child, Penny?" he would ask. "It's clear you have some issues."
"I'd rather not talk about that," Penelope replied. "Then let's talk about why you have to clean the toilet 3 times a day.
"I do it because you keep getting the seat dirty, darling," Penelope said.
When he asked her why she did not clean the wine glasses the way he thought she should, she threw them onto the floor. Penelope's marriage to Philip quickly fell apart, but they did not divorce. She had decided that she would rather be unhappy than admit to having another failed marriage. Rule number one, couples do not invite single women to their dinner parties. She and Philip continued to live in the same house, but lived separate lives. It worked for a while, until Penelope discovered that he had been dating a 19-year-old girl called Melissa. After Philip left, Penelope was alone in the home. She found an African cleaner called Boomy to help her keep the place clean, and she rented out some of the rooms upstairs to Japanese students. Penelope liked the students. They were clean, quiet, and respectful, and she liked to be bowed to when she collected their rent. Penelope did not like being single. She had discovered that it was not easy to find a partner now that she was middle-aged. She tried to be happy food shopping for one, and happy to go to sleep alone. She tried to be happy to look at her middle-aged body in the mirror without making a face. She also tried to be happy at work, especially as she had lost her first husband due to her right to do it. At first, she had enjoyed teaching the children at Peckham School for Boys and Girls, but she did not like it when children from immigrant families started joining the school. The school quickly changed from mostly white English students to students from all kinds of countries. The teachers were changing too, like Shirley, who had only just started teaching when she attacked Penelope in a meeting all those years ago. Penelope did not understand why Shirley had chosen to disagree with her, and it took her a long time to forgive her. But when she did, they became friends, work friends. Years after the divorce, the front doorbell rings. It's Sarah and her husband, Craig, with their small twins, Matty and Molly.
Penelope opens the door and the children jump on her. Sarah kisses her cheek and Craig gives her his usual Australian hug. She loves it when Sarah comes to visit with her family. Her daughter helped her after divorce number two. She is her best friend, as Penelope often reminds her. When her family come to visit, they give her the chance to forget about her worries and focus on the people she loves. After lunch, the children start running around. Penelope thinks parents should hit their children whenever they get out of control, but Craig says it is child abuse. Instead, she gets her grandchildren to come to the sofa by holding up two sweets. Once there, she puts her arms around them and reads them a book about a talking train. Once the twins have fallen asleep, Sarah decides to tell her some big news.
"Mum, there's never going to be a right time to tell you this. We're moving to Sydney."
Penelope starts to cry as she thinks about how much she is going to miss seeing her grandchildren grow up.